Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC at 50. Welcome to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, delighted to be joined this afternoon by our retired, longtime morning show host, Joelle Van Buren. Joelle, thank you for taking the time to chat with me today.
I always can chat with you. No problem.
Well, I wanted to make sure that we had you as part of this podcast series. As you know, we turned 50 years old, and you were such a huge part of the history of this radio station, because if memory serves, it was it almost 30 years, if I've got my math right, that you were here?
I think so. Yeah. I know the day I started because it was Pearl Harbor Day.
Oh, okay.
It was Pearl Harbor Day, 1992.
Okay, okay.
That was my first day on the air.
That's a good way to remember it.
Yeah.
So you had come to this radio station having been in radio before. So take us back kind of to the start of your radio career, how you got into it, and
where you
ended up kind of jumping around.
Well, when I was in college, I worked my way through college, and I didn't have time really to join clubs and things. And I always made time for a boyfriend, though. And this one guy, Richard, whose name will live in infamy, dumped me.
Oh boy!
And since he was my only extracurricular activity, I was devastated in more ways than one, and I'm like sobbing, and I'm driving my roommate crazy.
Right.
And she says, "Joelle, come with me to the radio station. I have a radio show, and you can do it with me. We can do it together. You can get your mind off of him." And it just happens to be in the largest men's dorm on campus.
the radio station was?
Yes.
Okay.
So I thought that sounded okay. I was not enthused because I was really, really upset.
Right.
So I went there, and I like to say I fell in love with radio. That's what happened. And I got huge ratings. Well, of course, there was about a little over 100 people that belonged to the radio station,
mm-hmm.
and did various things, shows. And Purdue is an engineering school, basically, so lots and lots of guys joined it for that reason, you know, taking it apart, putting it back together.
Mm-hmm.
But there were only 4 women out of the 100-plus members.
Right.
So our show's got great ratings, absolutely stunning ratings, and I did get several boyfriends out of it, but I really, really loved it. And when life took over after I left school and a few years went by, oh, good 6 or 8 years went by, and I was struggling, trying to find myself, I remembered radio, and I thought, oh, I wonder if there's a place I could, like, volunteer. So I started calling around all the stations, and they said, no, we don't have, because why didn't they say Jazz 90.1? No.
Sure.
Well, it was small back then.
Go back to Purdue for a second. So mm-hmm. what was your original major, and when you went to school, what did you think you were going to do?
I majored in foreign languages.
Mm-hmm.
I had a specialty in French, but I took Spanish and German and Russian as
wow.
well. And I thought I would travel the world, and I thought I would become a stewardess and have them pay the bill while
sure.
I traveled the world. And it was going to be, I wanted to have a fun life.
Mm-hmm.
I had grown up very poor, and I was very poor all through school. And I've been very poor most of my life, which prepared me for radio, which came later, because the pay, as you know, is abysmal.
Yeah.
But it's so wonderful. It's It's where I am happy. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And when I didn't find one of the DJs I called, said, "Well, you know, you sound pretty good to me." He said, "You know, we've got a part-time job open at the station here. Why don't you apply for it? I'll give you my recommendation." I said, "Oh, okay." So I did. I went to WHAM, and they had WHFM had the opening, and I did not get hired, but I did. I sat down. They sat me down at a table and a microphone. They put headphones on me, and it's like I don't know. It was like a vision. It was like I got taken over. I was in euphoria. My feet didn't touch the ground. I was like, this is it. This is home. Mm-hmm. This is what I should actually be doing. And I knew it with my heart and soul. And that's what's that. From then on, I was looking for a radio job.
Sure.
And I continued until WVOR relented and hired me. And that was the beginning of that, and I worked at several stations since.
Now, how did your path bring you to 90.1?
That was, I hate to get religious, and I'm not a super religious person in terms of going to church and all that, but I really believe God was watching over me,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
I was in a very tough time in my life. I did have radio jobs. I was working at a station in Canandaigua, 5 days a week, and working in Buffalo 1 or 2 days a week, depending on when they needed me. And I was like on the road constantly. Mm-hmm. And then I did temporary office work during the day because those jobs were night jobs.
Right. The radio jobs were night jobs that you
right.
had?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved them both. I loved the Canandaigua station. I loved the Buffalo station. But they were in Canandaigua. They were in Buffalo.
Right.
And I was on constantly on the thruway, and I didn't know what. I would wake up all at once. I would just wake up in bed and say, okay, what day is it? What time is it? Where am I supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And I was like a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I finally ended up having to, I decided to leave Buffalo and stick with Canandaigua, but then I was having a terrible time financially, mm-hmm. and then they sold the station from under us.
Oh. Was that EZO? Or not
no,
EZO?
No, I worked at EZO before that. I worked before that. I worked at EZO and I worked at NYR. WNYR was the country station that before WBE, where I also worked. But WNYR and WEZO were like partner stations.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for both of them, but I worked mainly for WNYR. It's where I got introduced to country and country listeners. And I found out how people could care deeply about music, which mm-hmm. prepared me great for the jazz station, because I had run into this before where people had normal jobs and normal lives, but they had a really special place in their heart for their mm-hmm. music. And I didn't know. But jazz, of course, is that way, too. And this really intense personal relationship with the music, which I became part of, too. So that's what happened. And so here I am. Things that, like I said, somebody was watching over me.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call one night, on one of the last nights that we're on the air in Canandaigua. So I had quit the Buffalo job. They had replaced me. I had nowhere to go. And this voice said, "Hi, my name's Eric Gruner. I don't know if you know me." And I said, "Yeah, I know you." Of course I knew. I'd heard of Eric Gruner. I'd heard of the station by then. I knew about it. And he said, "Well, our morning person is leaving." He said, "I was wondering if you'd be interested in coming to join the jazz station." You know? And I said, "Yes!"
Right, right.
"When? Do you want me to come now?" Yeah. And that's what happened.
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
Now, you, again, going back to kind of Eric Gruner's days, you've had the opportunity to see this radio station through some of its lowest times.
Oh, yeah.
Some of its most financially difficult times. And by the time you retired, seeing the station at some the best of times. What was it like for you? Is being one of the only folks that were here kind of for that length of time, being able to watch the station grow, watch the station change, go through struggles, come out the other side. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, yes. Although you can also talk to Phil Dodd about that.
Yeah.
He was here.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Dodd was here. It was from week to week.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't know where it was going,
right.
What was happening. It was during that time that 9/11 happened, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was... we would make progress, and then we'd have a setback. And we'd make a little progress, and we'd have a setback.
Mm-hmm.
But it was creeping along. It never felt like I was worried that we weren't going to make it. I always mm-hmm. knew we would make it. We just wouldn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would just be poor. And we did everything cheaply. There was no... Everybody brought their lunch.
Yeah.
we kept... CDs in file cabinets.
Uh-huh.
Things were secondhand. I brought plants in. Which
mm-hmm.
Some people didn't like it, but I liked it. I brought plants in from my temporary office jobs that I would get to because I couldn't live on what I was paid.
Sure.
And they grew all around the room. It was great.
Yep.
We all had a big painting day, and we personally painted the walls of the station ourselves.
Oh, wow.
Kind of thing. I mean, it was very hands-on, homemade, but everyone loved the music.
Yeah.
Everyone respected the music. There was a huge tie of brotherhood or sisterhood, a family feeling, because we all felt the same way about the music, and the listeners were so great. They were so wonderful, and they would go through all kinds of changes to try to get the station. Oh, I'm calling up to let you know that I ran this wire up through, down the basement, around the attic, and down the block, and
yep.
I used this XI-44 or whatever, and, you know, they tell us their latest solution
mm-hmm.
of how to receive our very weak signal.
People got very, very, and people still do if they're in an area that's difficult for us to be heard. People get very creative.
They're determined.
They
yes,
are.
Yes, people are determined.
They are. So, you know, kind of looking back through those lean years and the times that the station did really have financial difficulty, did you believe that we would, frankly, make it to five decades on the air?
I never thought ahead.
Okay.
No, I was too busy thinking of right now.
Right.
And there was always this thread or constant understanding that the money did not affect how very, very powerful and valuable and important the music was.
Yeah.
That always came first, and there would be huge arguments with people who would know, so-and-so, he can't play. No,
mm-hmm,
I don't like the way he
mm-hmm.
does that, and I don't like the way, well, but I love the way he does that. And we'd have intense discussions about our favorite musicians, and the musicians came, and I remember, McCoy Tyner. McCoy Tyner came and saw our pathetic...
Yeah, little studios.
Little station. It was, the decor was, I mean, really bad.
Yep.
And he came, and he was dressed really nice, and I had gone to Wegmans and got him some croissant. I gave him a bag of croissant. And he looked at me like I was crazy, you know, but I wanted to give him something.
Sure.
I wanted.
Well, and the musicians were always so kind to us, and still
was.
Are when
he
they
was
come
very,
through.
Very sweet. Yeah.
One thing that many years ago, there was a documentary done on the radio station, and one of the things that you said in that documentary has stuck with me for my almost 20 years here, and you talked about a specific song and a specific note that got you hooked on jazz. Do you remember that?
I remember that happened, but you're talking to somebody whose memory is not so good anymore.
I believe it was Wynton Marsalis. I'd have to look back at the... I'd have to look back at the documentary.
But I remember that happening to
yeah.
me. Yes.
Yeah.
I just wish I could remember who it was. It could very well have been Wynton Marsalis, but whoever it was, they hit that note, and
yeah.
it was like I was transported to another world. It was huge. Yes, I remember it happening to me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And I knew I would be a jazz person the rest of my life.
Now, you know, you've been retired now for a couple of years, and any radio person will say that the bug never goes away, the itch never goes away. Do you find yourself missing being on the air?
I play the music myself, and I listen to the music like on the computer and that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So for myself, I'm happy. But my main focus was always pleasing the people who depended on me to make their drive pleasant, to get mm-hmm. get out of away from the foibles of life, so mm-hmm. to speak. And I considered that a very important part of what I did. And the music was my gift, but my company was my gift.
Right.
And I miss being able to fill that need, because I think I did, at least what they tell me that I did, that mm-hmm. they really appreciated having the companionship. And that I always spoke to them, it was just me and that person, that's mm-hmm. it.
That was
a lot of people, announcers, don't do that. They'll say, oh, you guys, how are you guys? How are all of you? I never did that. I always said, how are you?
That was actually one of my first lessons that I got from you when I first started at the radio station. I remember you talking to me about that. And you know, as we discussed kind of, you know, because I came from the news talk world and, you know, and you had an early conversation with me and said you talked to one person. And that one person became my dad, who was listening to the radio station all the time. So every day I talk to one person, mm-hmm. you know, and you're right. It is a gift that we're able to have.
There's a disconnect. If you're by yourself and the announcer is saying you guys, it lessens you a little bit.
Yep.
I mean, it's not huge. It's not like a horrible thing that you mm-hmm. should be roasted and on the fire in a spit or something. You know, it's not a horrible, but it's so special to feel important and to feel somebody is paying attention to you as an individual. And that's how I really feel, that person and I. Even though there might be other people, I call it the same as being on a bus and talking to a person next to you mm-hmm. on a bus. Mm-hmm. The other people are there.
Yep.
You know, they're there, and they can listen in on your conversation, but you're talking to the person next to you.
That's right.
And they're the one you're focused on, and I think sometimes we don't have that attention in our lives from we feel more we're parts of group, we're part of a workforce, we're part of a family, we're part of a club membership, we're part of an audience, and we don't get that special one-on-one that we need so badly. And I recommend everybody do that to your lovey, your sweetie pie. Have a nice one-on-one conversation with them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Joelle, we miss you around here very much. We hope that we can get you in here sometime to come and see everybody, and we're grateful for your decades of service.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.